Hey, good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning, here with my wife, Julie, and my little girl, JC. Just turned six a couple months ago, so we're glad to be here. We were wondering a little bit about the storm coming up the coast, and we were wondering if we were going to make it. But lo and behold, as when we hit the road, the weather was great, and it was beautiful. We had a beautiful drive coming down here yesterday. And so we're glad to be here with you guys this morning. Hey, take your Bibles, and let's go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll be. We're going to talk about the principles of spiritual growth. Principles of spiritual growth. And recently, a few years ago, I was reading Spurgeon. And he speaks about this, about spiritual growth using five, he used an analogy I thought was very interesting, five different people. There are people, when you go to the beach, interestingly here in Delaware, you would see this more than anybody else in the rest of the country. When you go to the beach, you always got these different groups of people. There are these people who are they're on the sand. They'll never, no matter what, you could put a gun to their head, they would never. You couldn't get them to go into the water, right? They're going to stay on the sand, right? Then you got this other group of people. They are the people that will go in and just up to their ankles, right? You see those people, right? And they just walk along the beach. Then you got the rest of them, you know, a few more people who are, who would go knee deep into the water, and then you have those that would go waist deep into the water. And then Spurgeon says this. He says, then you have that last group of people, those people who they will wade in so far where it's too deep for them to even touch the bottom of the ocean. And they're the ones who are swimming in deep communion with Jesus Christ. And so he challenges us and he says, that's the type of person that we need to be. We must keep growing in our faith. We must keep growing. We cannot stay. He says, if you're one of those people who you know, you're always on the sand and we can never get you into the water, he says, that is unacceptable when it comes to your spiritual growth, when it comes to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to get into the water and start swimming, getting deeper into our faith. Now, as we talk about spiritual growth, we've got to define spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? Now, I thought it was interesting. I thought I would Google what spiritual growth is. I found this definition. It says, spiritual growth is the process of inner awakening and becoming conscious of our inner being. It means the rising of the consciousness beyond the ordinary existence and awakening to some universal truths. It means going beyond the mind and the ego and realizing who you really are. Very interesting definition, if you like Oprah. Okay, that's Oprah's definition of spiritual growth. It's all about you, self-actualization. And you see this playing out in our culture every day. All the questions of gender neutrality and transgender, this and that. It's all about who I identify as, because that's what it says. It's going beyond the mind and the ego and realizing who you really are. No, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's how you identify, how I identify. And I want to tell you this morning that the Bible has a completely different definition of spiritual growth. It's simply this. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It's very simple. I mean, you think of the cultural definition of spiritual growth, and they twist and turn and try to tell you, okay, it's who you are. But it's very simple. It's very simple. It's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. As we look through the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. 2 Peter 3 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. And so what happens, we have all these Christians who try to be stagnant. They're stagnant in their walk with the Lord. They want to coast through life. There's no desire to get deeper in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we get to the book of 2 Peter, what he's trying to explain to the church here is that if we hope to stay grounded when the winds of false teaching blow around us, we've got to focus on growing deeper in our walk, because that's the problem that was going on. There were false teachers that were coming into that area of Asia Minor. He's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, and there are false teachers that were coming in to wreak havoc in the churches. And so it's interesting to read both books, 2 Peter and Jude. In 2 Peter, he's warning them that they're on their way. In Jude, what's Jude saying? Jude is saying they're here, they're in the church, right? We got to do something about it, right? So he's writing here, 2 Peter, he's saying, look out for these false teachers. They're coming in, and they're going to cause a lot of trouble in our churches. And he's saying, if you hope to stay grounded in your faith, as you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, man, you've got to grow deeper. Just one more passage before we jump in here. In Ephesians 4, I like this. In Ephesians 4, he says, "Why do we have pastors and spiritual leaders in the church?" Ephesians 4:12. You guys know this, right? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And watch this, verse 14. He says, so that we may no longer be what? Be children, right? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, what are we to do? We are to do what? Grow up. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, even Christ. Fascinating, fascinating passage of scripture. And so that is the idea. That's the main thrust of what we want to talk about today. Spiritual growth, so that you don't get carried away by every wind of doctrine. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, we want to look at three principles of spiritual growth. Three principles of spiritual growth. Some of these are simple. You guys know these things. You've been through this stuff before. But like he says in verse 12, just jump down to verse 12. I want you to understand why we're doing this. In verse 12, he says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the truth. You guys know this stuff, right? You know this stuff. Right, but he says, I still think it's important that we go through them. I think it's verse 13. I think it's meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. It's important stuff. Simple, but still important. Three principles of spiritual growth. We find the first one in verse 3. And the first principle is that God enables the growth of all believers. He enables the growth of all believers. In verse 3, he says this, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's saying that it is God who gives us, who enables us to be able to grow. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Watch this, verse 13, for it is who? Hello? I need you to talk to me. You got to help me out here, okay? It is who? It is God. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, when you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he comes in and he changes us, and then he gives us the resources. As he says, his divine power gives us everything that we need. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is doing this work inside of you. He is moving and working powerfully and mightily, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. He is working in you. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the founder or the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith. And so he's saying here that God not only authors faith in our hearts, but he completes the faith. He helps us to grow deeper, and he gives us that hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. That all comes from him. It is all through his work. I love these passages in Ezekiel where I circled all the I's in my Bible. God is saying, I am the one who does this work inside of you. Ezekiel 11:19, he says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit, and I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God is saying, I am the one who does this work inside of you. It is not you. It's not you. It's not you. That's why we praise God for his amazing grace. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because it's the work of God from beginning to end. If I were left to myself, I would be doomed. I would be lost forever. But praise God for his amazing grace. His amazing grace. In Ezekiel 18, he says, when you come to Christ, there's got to be repentance. He says, cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And so what he's saying here, he's calling for repentance. That's where the tension in the text is, because yes, it's all of God, and he does a marvelous work inside of our hearts, but there's also the human side of it, where we must put off and put on, amen, right? The Bible calls us to do that, and that leads us to our second principle in verse 5, where he says, spiritual growth is always accompanied by a transformed life. There has to be repentance. There has to be a turning away from sin and a turning to Christ. And so he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Remember, you already have the faith. Where did the faith come from? God, right? He says that he is the author and the finisher, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so now you're saved. Now you're walking the Lord. And so some of you may be new Christians here, and praise God, for your salvation. So you're a brand new creation in Christ. Now he says you can't stay there. You can't stay there. You have to grow up. You have to grow. And so he says, beside this, giving all diligence, you got to add to your faith. Now, that phrase, giving all diligence, what he's saying there is this, again, the tension in the text. We now have to make this effort to grow in our faith. Right? Yes, God enables us to grow, but there's some effort on our part. It says make every effort. It means to work to the point of exhaustion, giving everything that you've got, everything, heart and soul, to grow deeper in your faith. And he says, what do you got to do? You got to add virtue. Let's just walk through them. He talks about virtue, then knowledge and temperance and patience and goodness and brotherly kindness and charity. I won't dig deep on each of them, but just a few of them I want to touch on here. Virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. Moral excellence. It is doing the right thing regardless of how you feel. We live in a culture where focused on feelings. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And so again, it goes back to that self-actualization, right? It's how I identify. It's who I am. I do what I want to. What you're essentially saying is that you are a little God. Nobody tells you what to do. Nobody can make you do anything because you are king of your own life, right? And that's the culture that we live in. It's pride that we struggle with. And so when we get to moral excellence and we really begin to unpack what that means, it takes on a whole new different meaning. Because when you think of this whole idea of virtue and you know, you apply to different life situations. I think of marriages. In marriage, and when you get to Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible simply says, husbands, what? Love your wives. Time out, God, you don't know my wife. Trust me, you don't know what she's like. Whoa, stop, listen. I didn't ask you what your wife was like. I said, love her. Love your wife. And that's that very interesting word, which we'll get to, is agape love. That's the way he ends verse 7, adding to brotherly kindness, charity. Same word, agape. It's unconditional love. Love your wives. I didn't ask you what your wife was like. I didn't ask you if she cooks for you or if she irons for you or if she this or that. I didn't ask you, right? The Bible, there are no questions in that section of Scripture, in that passage. None. Read it, right? None. There are no questions there. Doesn't matter what you feel like, you do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Wives, submit to your husband. Well, you don't know my husband. You know, he does this and he does that. He never cleans up after himself. And you know how we are, guys, right? We leave our socks everywhere, amen? Right? And so our wives have to pick up after us. Are any of you willing to admit it? No? Okay. All right, that's fine. All right. Okay, I'm the only one. That's okay, right? That's okay, right? But see, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, you don't know what I didn't ask you what your husband is like. Didn't ask you. Submit to your husbands. There's some things that the Bible tells us to do, and immediately within us, our human nature within us rises up and says, "Whoa, I don't feel like the whoa, 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 whoa." I didn't ask you what you feel like. I didn't ask you and ask you. You love your enemies, and that is why it's important that we connect the dots here back to even to that first principle, because some of the things that we're called upon to do in Scripture, it's the right thing to do. You understand that they're not normal human, it's not normally humanly possible in your flesh. You understand that. These are things, that's why it's called, that's why the Bible calls us to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Yes? No? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh are those desires that I have that rise up within me, those sinful desires that rise up within me that tells me I am God, I do what I want, nobody tells me what to do. I had a kid like that in my youth group, right? Nobody tells me what to do. And he looked at me and he says, not even my mother tells me what to do. He was in eighth grade at the time. And guess what he wanted to do for a living? He wanted to go into the military. I said, you go, boy. You go. He was back home in 2 weeks. Quit. Any of you been in the military here before? All right, quite a few of you, right? You know, he's back home in two. Nobody tells me what to do, right? And that's not what we have in our flesh. And so when that's why when we read the Scriptures, it is a frontal assault on who we think we are. And so God's Word commands us to come in a spirit of humility and to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And he says, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Grow up. But I'm giving you the resources. He talks about adding to our faith virtue, knowledge of the truth of God's word, and then being able to apply it to our lives. And as you go through each one, they build on each other. They build on each other, starting at virtue, ending with agape, love. And so he says, add to knowledge temperance. That's the ability to hold oneself in. And so back in Greek culture, it was used of athletes who really had to discipline themselves to so that they could win the race. I trained Usain Bolt, by the way. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. I really enjoyed the Olympics. But you know, we just ended the Olympics, and so those athletes, you know how they train hard, hours and hours a day. That's that word temperance. And he says temperance, then add to temperance, patience, the hupomeno, the ability to remain under pressure or to endure difficult times with vibrant hope, because I know that God is with me. Psalm 23, fear thou not, for he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For what? Hello? For what? Thou art with me. I know I'm going to be okay. I know I'm going to be okay because God is with me. That's the patience, the hupomeno, remaining under pressure because God is there. And then he says, add to patience, godliness, that is living reverently and loyally and obediently to God. And he says, add to godliness, brotherly kindness, that's phileo, the phileo love, mutual sacrifice for one another. And he says, add to brotherly kindness, charity, which is agape love, unconditional love. And all of that takes work. It takes work. But there has to be, there's got to be some movement in your walk with the Lord, if you got saved and there is no movement at all, there is no desire to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. That song came to my mind, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, 'tis my humble plea. That if you have no desire to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with you. There's something drastically wrong. Because it's time to grow up. You cannot stay as you are. If you grow, there must be change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. There is change in your life. And so if you're a believer and there is no change in your life, then you are calling God a liar. Yes? No? Hello? Right? If you're walking with God and you're like, I know I'm a Christian, I have no desire to change, no desire to walk close, I have no hunger or thirst for righteousness, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Right? If you're a true believer, you want to grow. You want to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a situation a couple weeks ago with JC. And JC just turned 6. And I was even explaining this to our church the other day that she turned 6. And JC, you have to understand, was the model child. I mean, we never had to baby-proof our home at all, right? She was not the type of kid that would be climbing up on stuff or, trying to, look behind here and there. And she was amazing. It was wonderful, right? But when she turned 4 or 5, right, she started doing stuff like, what in the world has gotten into you, right? So they talk about Turbo Tuesday got delayed, and so she started, she started doing stuff, and we were like, hello, like you're not 2 years old anymore. So the other day she decided, she wanted to do a pool party, right? And which is great, we love pool parties, but she wanted to do a pool party with her dolls. And she wanted to do a pool party with her dolls inside the house in the carpeted area of her house, okay? Not good, okay? And so she fills the bucket up and she's walking over and so she has all her dolls there and she's in the carpeted area. And I come out of the room and I said, JC, what are you? You're 6 years old. Right? You're 6. We don't do this anymore. And so she started telling me that she doesn't want to be 6 years old anymore. She wants to be 1. She wants to go back to when she was 1 year old and she didn't have to worry about all this stuff. And she's making these, deep philosophical arguments for why she needs to go back to that age. And, why am I having this conversation with you? And so... That's the mentality that we have sometimes in our spiritual walk. We don't want to grow up. We don't want to grow up. But the Bible says we have to. You have to grow up. There has to be change. There has to be change in your walk, in your life. There has to be repentance, a turning away from sin. And so when you turn away from sin and you turn to Christ and you're becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying there is that understanding that first of all, God enables you to grow. He enables you to grow and understand that as you grow, there will be changes in your life. And so now we get to the third principle. The third principle we find in verse 8. And the third principle is this, that a lack of spiritual growth generally results in a lack of assurance in your faith. There's so many people who struggle with their salvation, whether or not their faith is real. And you need to understand that if you have no desire to grow, or if you haven't grown in your walk with the Lord, then you need to understand that that lack of assurance is normal. That's normal. You will probably, more than likely, experience that lack of assurance if there is no growth in your life. Because in verse 8, he says, for these things, what things is he talking about? What's he talking about? Everything we talked about from verse 5 to verse 7, right? Virtue, right? Knowledge, brotherly kindness, love, temperance, patience, all of that. He says, if these things be in you, and not just be in you, but what? But abound, right? It's growing. I mean, they're this forward movement, right? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, there's gonna be change, and it will be, you're gonna have a massive impact. Yeah, you know, you'll have impact on the kingdom of God as you grow in your faith. You will be a fruitful person, an effective person as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's normal for somebody who is growing in their faith. You naturally want to serve in the church. You're not just sitting by. You're not just a you know, you can't say pew sitter in this congregation because you guys have chairs. So you're not just a chair sitter or, you know, a bench warmer, you know, chair warmer or whatever, right? You're somebody, you want to get involved. And as you're getting involved, man, God is using your life to edify and build up the body of Christ. That's what happens when somebody is growing in their faith, right? You're reaching others for Jesus Christ. There's a desire for evangelism and a desire to serve. That's normal stuff. But when you get to verse 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things is what? Verse 9. Got your Bibles open? Verse 9. He that lacketh these things is what? Blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Right? And so he's saying, so if you're not growing, if you're not growing in your faith, right, understand that you're going to struggle. You're going to waver, right? And that's why I appreciated Sunday school this morning, going through Christology, because these things are crucial. It directly relates to what was going on here in 2 Peter, understanding that there are false teachers around us and the winds of heresy are always blowing. And it is important. It is vitally important for the health of a church that it keeps growing. That's why I appreciate Pastor Nate. You are well served by Pastor Nate and the elders here in this church. They help you grow deeper in your faith by unpacking the truth of God's word so that you can grow deeper. They give you some meat to chew on so that you can grow deeper in your faith. This is crucial. This is crucial because if you don't have that, then the church will waver. And so any wind of doctrine that comes along, that you tend to get carried away. If you're, as an individual, if you're not growing in your faith, then that's normal. You're going to be just going to and fro with every wind of doctrine, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. He says the reason we have spiritual leaders is to help you grow in your faith, to teach you God's word, to edify you, that you may grow, so that you're not children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And Spurgeon says this. He says, you who are the living branches, in the living vine, prove it by your growth. You who are children of God should increase in wisdom and stature, and go on from strength to strength until you appear in Zion before God. So you never stop growing. You never stop growing. You keep getting deeper and deeper in your walk with God. He says, if your faith is as feeble now as it was 20 years ago, if you have not made any spiritual advance during the last 10 years, you ought very gravely to question whether you have any spiritual life at all. You should question that. You should question your faith. You should question your faith. Well, some people don't like that. You should question your faith. Go back and make sure. Go back and make sure. Because you look in verse 10. Look in your Bibles at verse 10. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence," right? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You got to question your faith. If you have not grown in the last 10 or 20 years in your faith, hello? Something's wrong. Something is wrong. You have to understand that. You have to understand that. Something is wrong. Praise God. We have a God of grace and mercy who understands. He understands. He can deal with honesty. I had a guy in our church tell me that a few months ago. Been in our church for 20 years or so, 20 or 30 years. Thought he was saved and everything. And he came to me and he said, "You know what? I don't think I am. I don't think I am." And he came to me a few weeks later and said, "You remember what we were talking about the other day about my salvation? I made things right with God. I made things right with God." Thought he was. Some of you here may think you are, but you haven't grown at all. Question your faith. Give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So what do you do? What do you do? Here's a cycle. Here's a cycle of spiritual growth. I just want to give you some practical things here this morning. Cycle of spiritual growth. What's it look like? So we have the cycle that begins with spiritual disciplines. If you want to grow in your faith, you got to have the disciplines. The disciplines. What are the disciplines? You got to be in the Word. Personally and corporately, you have to be in the Word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in church. You have to want to be here. Those are disciplines, means of grace that God uses in our lives. And so as you practice the spiritual disciplines, what happens next is there's growth. There's growth. What do I mean by growth? Well, we defined it. What's spiritual growth? Becoming more and more like who? Like Christ. That's spiritual growth. Okay? So as you're practicing the disciplines, you're growing. And as you're growing, according to our text here, there is an assurance of faith. There's an assurance of faith. And so as you have that assurance of your faith and you're growing, you develop a deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and which leads to service. You want to serve him more and you want to live for him more and you want to reach others with the gospel more. And so all of that goes back to verse 8. You're being fruitful and effective in your ministry here at the church. But then it goes back, because the deeper you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the more you want to be in his Word, and the more you want to pray, and the more you want to fellowship with God's people, right? That's just a natural, it's just natural, right? And so the more you do these disciplines, the deeper you grow, the more like Christ you become. And the more like Christ, then the more assurance of your faith. Romans 8, that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're who? We are children of God. That's just normal. That's what happens. That's what happens. And so as you're growing and becoming more like Christ, then what happens is a deeper love for Christ. And on it goes. And on it goes. So I pose to you the question, where are you right now? Is there a desire to grow in your faith? Is there a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? Are you one of those people who, yes, you came to Christ, you asked Christ to come into your heart so many years ago, but there's never been any change in your life? God is okay with honesty. He's okay. If you go to him and you say, God, I know I accepted you as Savior, but I have no desire to grow. I have no desire. Just be honest with you. Just be open and honest. I have no desire to go to church. I have no desire to read my Bible, right? I have spoken to people. I'm sure you have spoken to people like this who they say, I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I know I am a Christian. I have no desire to read my Bible. I have no desire to pray. And if that's you, I'm telling you there's something wrong. But go. Just be honest with God. Be honest with him. Go to him. Get alone with God and say, God, I know I'm supposed to have this hunger and this desire, these spiritual desires in my heart, but I don't have them. Lord, do your mighty work within me. Give me a hunger and a thirst for you. An old hymn says, give me a passion for souls. Right? Ask God to work mightily in your heart and in your life, to draw you closer to himself. That hymn says, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. May that be the prayer on all of our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Father, I pray that in these moments, Lord, that you would be working mightily in each and every one of our hearts. Transform us. Change us from the inside out, Father. And may we become more and more like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Precious Redeemer, pure as thou art. That's our prayer today, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time spent in your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.